Well, Mandy leaned over to me this morning, or while we're sitting here, and she goes, "I got some new shoes last night." I go, "Well, for what? You gotta have new shoes for the talk." I was like, "Look down, uh-oh." So she leans over, "Oh, you can borrow mine." I figured that wasn't a good idea since they're high heels. I'm a little nervous. Probably trip and fall, break something. So we're not gonna do that. My heart is pounding right now, and I'm not sure whether that's the spirit, because that's nervous. Probably a little bit of both. But here we go. I've been asked to speak on receiving blessings of the temple and temple attendance. But I want to kind of step back and kind of look at what our whole goal is in life here. And if you guys, most of you guys know the scripture Moses 139. You guys look at that. It says, "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." Now, the first part of that immortality, Christ gave that to us as a gift. He died for us, and we all get to live forever. That's just a gift he's given us. The second part, the eternal life, we have to work towards that. And he gave us the atonement, and that's how we can repent of our sins and return back to him. And one thing we have to do in order to gain eternal life is go through the temple. And how do you get to the temple? You got to make sure you're worthy and that you're baptized. And kind of in the missionary mode right now. And when I hear baptizing, mission, right? Missions, baptize, right? They just go hand in hand. Well, I read this quote by President Gordon B. Hinckley. It says, "This work, unselfishly given in behalf of those on the other side, come nearer to the unparalleled vicarious work of the Savior than any other of which I know. The great and important work," and he's talking about missionary work here, "the great and important work of teaching the gospel of Christ to the people of the world is incomplete at best if it does not also provide for that teaching to those in another sphere and making available to them those gospel ordinances required of all if they are to move forward on the way of eternal life." So what he's saying here is, you know, missionary work is not just about baptize. Baptize, okay, forget about them, let's move on, let's find another baptism. That's the first step. We need to make sure that we're preparing them to go into the temple. That's how they're going to make it back to live with Heavenly Father. My grandparents, on my mom's side, they're serving their mission in Chile right now, and they get to work with Elder Holland. And one time they were with him, and he was giving a talk, and my grandparents kind of wrote out the talk, their version, and so one paragraph their email and read. It says, "I have a vision," he said, "for the work here in Chile. It was a simple statement, but it gave me such a wonderful, warm feeling to be reminded again that we are led by a man of vision and that we have a part to play in making that vision a reality." Then he asked, "Do you know how many people were baptized here in Chile in 1 4-year period? 100,000. And do you know how much sacrament meeting attendance increased during that same period? By 546. That is all. 546 out of 100,000? What happened? Did they not have the vision? The missionaries who baptized them and the members themselves did not realize that baptism is only the gate, the beginning." Just another witness. Baptism shouldn't be the main focus mission. That's the first step. And then we need to prepare them to enter into the temple to be sealed with their families so they can return to live with Heavenly Father. And once you baptize other people, they'll do genealogy work, and they'll be able to go to the temple and do their family names. So all of us, some of us have family names. We go do temple work for them. Some of us, though, don't have family names. And so, you know, some of us won't think, okay, well, I don't need to go to temple. I don't have any more family names to do. Well, that's being selfish. President Hinckley said, "The element of selfishness crowds in upon us constantly. We need to overcome it, and there is no better way than to go to the house of the Lord and there serve in a vicarious relationship in behalf of those who are beyond the veil of death. What a remarkable thing this is. In most cases, we do not know for those whom we work. We expect no thanks. We have no assurance that they will accept that which we offer. But we go, and in that process, we attain to a state that comes of no other effort. We literally become saviors on Mount Zion." What does this mean? Just as our Redeemer gave his life as a vicarious sacrifice for all men, and in so doing became our Savior, even so we, in a small measure, when we engage in proxy work in the temple, become as saviors to those who on the other side have no means of advancing unless something is done in their behalf by those on earth. So we literally become saviors to those that we help. I imagine when we get to the other side and we see that person that we helped just running to each other, grabbing them, giving a big hug, thanks. I could have never done it without you. We can also be saviors to our families in that we live worthily and then we go to the temple and be married there. And then our families will be sealed together forever. There's a story in this last Ensign, February Ensign. And the story went, some guy had kind of strayed from the gospel. He wasn't going to church anymore, and he wasn't so sure about it. And then his wife dies, and he has this dream, and he sees this big chasm. He's on one side, and his family's on the other side. And his family's really happy, waving to him, hey, come over here, come join us. He's like, no, come over here, I'm happy over here. And he knows just how happy his family is over there, and he really wants to be over there with them. But this chasm is so big, it is impossible for him to get over there. And so it's from that dream that he realizes that he wants to be with his family forever, and that the path he's on, he's not going to be able to do that. And so he starts going back to church, starts repenting, and gains a greater testimony of the Savior's love for him. And he remembers one of the last things his wife said was, do whatever it takes to be an eternal family. And in order to do that, they need to be sealed in the temple. And they were. And they need to live worthily. There are other blessings or other reasons for attending the temple. And Representative Jeff Benson kind of summed two of them up. In this quote, he says, in the peace of these lovely temples, sometimes we find solutions to the serious problems of life. Under the influence of the Spirit, sometimes pure knowledge flows to us there. Temples are places of personal revelation. When I have been weighed down by a problem or a difficulty, I have gone to the house of the Lord with a prayer in my heart for answers. So one thing, we can go there just for our own personal benefit to receive revelation, or just pure knowledge will flow into us more about learning about thy temple. And you know, going to the temple many times, you'll learn new things every time. It's just like reading a book over and over, seeing a movie over and over. You always see different things you didn't see before. It's just like the temple. You continually go through and you'll always learn new things. And you can also go there when you're having problems or you have questions. If you go to the temple with a prayer in your heart that he will answer them. Elder David B. testified to this. He said, you will come to know our Lord there. As your relationship with him grows and deepens, you will grow increasingly confident in his love, in his compassion for your difficulties, in his power to bear you up and bring you back into his presence. As you avail yourself of that divine assistance, you will come to know that there can be no challenge, no difficulty, no obstacle in your life which you and he together cannot overcome. To that I testify. And I know that if you go there and you're having troubles or you have some decision to make, if you go to the temple, he will help you. He's not just going to say, you know what, that's your decision. You're on your own. He's not like that. He's going to help us. He's going to lift us up, put us in his arms. And another reason you can go there is to feel peace, to feel the Spirit. Just kind of, when you go there, you leave the world behind. You're in the temple. You're feeling the Spirit. Everything's great. Elder Von J. Featherstone talked about feeling peace in the temple. And he said, before the Savior comes, the world will darken. There will come a period of time where even the elect will lose hope if they do not come to the temples. The world will be so filled with evil that the righteous will only feel secure within these walls. The saints will come here not only to do vicarious work, but to find a haven of peace. They will long to bring their children here for safety's sake. And I could testify that when you go to the temple, even if it's just baptisms for the dead, for those of you that are 12, that you will feel comfort, you will feel peace. About a week and a half ago, my parents were gone, and I was in charge of the kids and getting them off to school and everything. And one morning, it was just really hard. We're trying to get everybody ready. We're trying to clean up the house. We got some people coming over that night for dinner. And we're trying to find my little brother's underwear, and we can't find any clean underwear anywhere. It's driving me nuts. Ah, we're crazy. Kids, go to school. Dash to the store, buy some new ones, and finally get him out. okay, I'm struggling, I'm going to go to the temple. After coming back to that temple, what a feeling of peace. And the rest of the day really was just better. And went home, I don't think I've ever done this, and I read my scriptures for, I think, 2 straight hours. And really felt the Spirit, and it was a good thing. It was definitely a good thing. One of the hymns, hymn 288, excuse me, it's called "How Beautiful Thy Temples, Lord," and it kind of sums up all the different reasons why we go to the temple, and the blessings that come from it. It says, "How beautiful thy temples, Lord, each one a sacred shrine, where faithful saints with one accord engage in work divine. How beautiful some aid to give to dear ones we call dead, but who indeed as spirits live, they've only gone ahead. How beautiful thy message, Lord, the gospel pure and true. In these our days to earth restored and taught to men anew. How beautiful its faith and hope all mankind it would save, including in its aim and scope the souls beyond the grave. The souls beyond the grave. How beautiful thy promise, Lord, that we may grow in truth and live exalted by thy word in endless glorious youth, with loved ones sealed in holiness by a sacred temple rites. Worlds without end, we may progress from heights to greater heights." And I kind of want to talk to the youth now, those of you that haven't gone through the temple and received your endowments, to stay worthy to go to the temple. Be careful the music you listen to, the movies you watch. You know, movies nowadays, now they have a great website called screenit.com. You can go there and you can check out every single bad word that's in there, anything that's bad in there, and you can decide before you go whether that fits your standards or not. Instead of going saying, "Oh man, I wish I hadn't seen that, that was dumb," you can decide before, "Oh, I'm glad I didn't see that one." Also be careful where you're going on the weekends with the friends you're hanging out with. You gotta ask yourself, do my friends lift me up? Do they pull me down? You know, there's no staying in the middle. You have to keep me the same. You're either progressing or you're falling. You just need to stay worthy of the blessing. The blessings that come for staying worthy are incredible. I know I felt them. And if you're not sure, if you're listening to the right music, if you're hanging out with the right friends, just ask yourself this question. If the Spirit were trying to tell me something, would I be able to hear what it's trying to tell me? And so stay worthy. And to everybody else, you stay worthy as well. Continue going to the temple so you can learn new things. And President Hinckley, in his last conference address, his last talk, his whole focus was on temples. And he said, "I would hope that we might go to the house of the Lord a little more frequently." He's not asking us to make a big change. He just wants us to go a little bit more frequently. If you're going once a month, you know, maybe that means twice a month or something. Just go a little bit more frequently. That's all he's asking us, do a little bit more. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity I've had to go to the temple. And me and a couple of my friends got to go to Las Vegas, and we got to go through that temple there. And I'd only been to the Arizona temple, and so that's the only one I'd ever seen. And we went to the Las Vegas temple, and it was amazing to walk into that celestial room and see how bright it was. And it was a cloudy day. You walk in there, it was bright. You had to squint your eyes, and Jason Morris mentioned to me, you couldn't just help smile, but when you walk in there, man, the church is true. You know it. And I have a testimony to this gospel, and I'm so grateful for it and for its influence in my life. So grateful for the friends that I've had and for how they've helped me get to the point where I am now. Going to college was a good thing up in BYU, Idaho. I got to live with some returned missionaries and see how they act and see them on their knees every night and every morning praying to their Heavenly Father. And that's been a great example to me. And I know this church is true. I testify of it. And I'm so grateful for my family and for all that they've done. And for my dad, the bishop. I was actually his first interview. That was a little weird. But I'm so grateful for the scriptures. Reading them has really brought the Spirit into my life. And I'm grateful for that and for the Holy Ghost for it witnessing to me that this church is true. And I can't wait to go teach it to other people. And I've really had, after preparing this talk, look at missions a little different. You know, before I've always thought missions, yeah, I need to go baptize those people. But after preparing this talk, I need to prepare them to go into the temple. As my dad said, it's like the home run. That's where you want to be, is the temple, so you can return to live with your Heavenly Father. And I'm grateful for this opportunity I have to serve a mission. And I love this gospel so much. And I love my Savior. And I know that without him, none of us could return back to him. Because of his atonement, great things have happened. And see Bishop Roner back there, and for all his help that he's given to me. And again, I know this church is true, and I'm grateful for the scriptures. And I leave these things with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
As is a tradition in our ward, I have the opportunity to stand with missionaries who are leaving and coming back. And that's been a great tradition. And I want to be careful because there's no such thing as a missionary farewell. And because I'm renting the position of a bishop right now, I don't want to turn it into a farewell. But I would be remiss not to stand and on behalf of the ward, express our gratitude, Joseph, for your testimony and for the spirit that we felt. And truly, as you look out over the ward, look at all those eyes looking at you. There's a lot of smiles. There's one frown over there. That's because your mom frowns when she cries. They all support you, as do I, and we appreciate your influence and on us in the ward, and we send you forth with our love and our prayers and a promise that as you seek what the Lord wants, which is to get these your wonderful brothers and sisters that do not know yet of the truth of the gospel, as you help them to get into the temple, you will feel the true joy that comes, and you will be aligned perfectly with the will of your Father, which is our responsibility in this life. We love you and pray for the Lord's blessings to be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thanks.